Grace, mercy, and peace from God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, be unto you now and forevermore. Amen. So let me ask, how many of you have been to the Holy Land? Okay, so what, Munich, Berlin? Not the German Holy Land. So Israel. Been to Israel. Okay. So if you've been to Israel, you most likely were on a tour of the, quote, historical places of Jesus. And one of those might have been where the Sermon on the Mount was purported to have taken. If you can picture that in your mind's eye, or if you saw one of the many movies or looked at the pictorial Bible, you might see this bucolic hillside along the lake. And of course, this blonde, blue-eyed Jesus in his dazzling white robes, sitting there talking to this very sweet crowd. And aren't those words wonderful? Great for Sunday school. Great for a bedtime story. And yet, if we really listen to those words of the Beatitudes, they're a bit of a challenge for us. They can challenge our attitudes, our beliefs, our actions, just as they did in that day. Perhaps we hear those as words of encouragement for our social ministry and our outreach. Yet, if you listen to them carefully, they may be a bar too high. As a Lutheran, of course I believe what Luther says. When he says that this view of impossible demands are designed to reveal the depth of our sinfulness and the great need for God's grace given in Christ. This morning, I'm going to ask you to get past how you normally hear the reading of the Beatitudes. Listen to them and ask yourself how they apply to you. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew's gospel, the poor in spirit are not people who trust in God because they have no reason for hope in the world. They're people who have no reason for hope in the world, period. Then it might have been because they were diseased or widowed or slaves or of another race or poor. Everybody knew, of course, that God had turned his back on those people, perhaps for something they had done or for something that an ancestor had done. There was no hope that anything would change for better in their lifetime. And what of today? When some of you saw me standing up here today, you might have thought, oh, here's more stories of wounded warriors and the military. Well, you're right. It's not at all unusual for me to get a phone call for some reason around 2:40 a.m. on a pretty regular basis. And oftentimes when I pick up the phone, I might hear a heartrending sob. Or someone will ask, is it convenient to talk now? Of course, I had to get up and answer the phone anyway. But what they say are things that break my heart. Because they believe that they have nothing to live for. And on some occasions, they're simply calling to say goodbye. They believe that the things that they have done the things that they have been a part of, even the things that they have seen, are so horrific in the sight of God that they cannot be forgiven, and that they are evil, and they are damned for all eternity. It doesn't matter if we talk about the family and the children and all they have yet to give. They believe that they do not deserve to have a loving family. If they had attempted to give some little girls some food and the girls were killed before their eyes, or they attempted to rescue a newborn from a pack of wild dogs only to have that child breathe their last in their arms, or they had befriended a local and tried to help teach English or give them something, that person would be cruelly executed in a way that would leave them with nightmares. So as they go to have some family time with their own children who are screeching and running and wanting daddy to play, it hurts their hearts so much they cannot stand to have the children around them. And the children then wonder, why have they now become so terrible that dad wants nothing to do with them? Those images intrude at the worst times, day and night. And the only way they can think to shut them out is to die. Well, why don't they come here? Because oftentimes being in this place of worship where we're told what God is like, we're told what we should be like as believers, is so alien to what they have heard by those people who kill and maim and destroy in the name of God. They cannot reconcile that. And the division is so much greater, and their feelings so much worse. So how do we reach them? Some of the psychiatrists and psychologists would tell you that there are certain methods that have been proven, and only those methods should be used. But there's one that they tend to leave out, and that's love. So only by the Holy Spirit in these phone calls, so many thousands of miles away in most cases, I remind them that I love them just as they are. And if I love them as God's and Christ's disciple, then God does too. I try to offer them God's forgiveness and hope. But sometimes that's too much of a stretch. But just loving them makes such a huge difference. And oftentimes I'll hear, then I guess I'll try again. The kingdom of heaven is for people such as these. This is one of the reasons, Jesus says, for his coming among us as a man. So we can see that he faces the challenges we face. He was ridiculed, cast aside, chased out of his hometown, called crazy, and eventually put to death. We even hear him ask, my God, why are you forsaking me? And it is for people such as these, people like us, that he goes about his ministry to all people and finally dies and rises so that all people may inherit the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. There is mourning and there is mourning. I never felt so empty and lost as when I lost my 54-year-old father after short illness. Where was the God who answers prayers, who brings healings, who restores loved ones to families? Just 3 days after losing my father, I was ordered to Okinawa to be with some 1,200 Marines who were going to a dangerous place. If I was having trouble believing in a God, how in the world could I be Christ's disciple and represent him among them? So it seemed pretty cruel that as I joined the battalion and started to my office, I was stopped by a young sergeant who had a little lance corporal in tow, and he handed me a piece of paper. And as I looked at the lance corporal, I could see that he didn't know why he was here, but certainly didn't want to be here. And I opened the Red Cross message, and it said I needed to tell him that his father died. What did I have to say? The best I could say to him was, I lost my father too. And we know a grief that others don't know. Let's give each other the gift of grieving together. It wasn't too long after that that there were several others to whom I had to break that news. It seemed to me at that point that God knew me intimately, better than I knew myself. All those people who said, well, he's only asleep, he's gone to God, he's in paradise, he's with his loved ones, that didn't give me a second chance to say, I love you or forgive me. But God knew that the best way for me to heal was to grieve, but to begin to make sense of this tragedy in my life in a way that somehow makes life better for another. Mourning isn't just grieving the loss of a loved one. There are so many things that we mourn. The loss of relationships, abilities, mobility, eyesight, homes, jobs, youth, memory, what might have been, opportunities not seized. The people I really worry about are those who refuse to mourn or are not allowed to grieve. What do we hear? Grow a backbone. Suck it up. Keep your chin up. I can tell you that if we do not grieve, grief will wait for us. And it will not wait kindly. It festers. It causes us additional difficulties. If we are determined to never allow ourselves to open to such pain again, to be in another relationship, to reach out to others, to try a new job, to move to a new location, if we shut down, if we throw ourselves into our work, if we put a concrete slab around our emotions, going through life, remaining stoic and uninvolved, will be empty. That sounds a lot like the stoicism of Jesus' time. that I believe he speaks to here. He encourages us to care enough to mourn. This man of sorrows who was acquainted with grief, just as he wept for Lazarus and for Jerusalem. When Paul tells us to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep, he likely had Jesus in mind as a model. The truth is, when we say yes to Jesus, we say yes to a life of increased joy and a life of increased mourning. Anyone who tells you that Christian life is all sweetness and joy is dreadfully mistaken. Jesus calls us to mourn. Rather than pulling us out of the turmoil of life, Jesus joins us. Sometimes, rather than lessening the pain of grief, he strengthens us. As a plaque says, sometimes the Lord calms the storm, but sometimes he lets the storm rage and calms his child. In the kingdom of God that Jesus is here to introduce, there will be more than comfort. There will be celebration. There will be new life. There will be restoration. There will be joy in being what he created us to be. And not just for a while, but for eternity. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The walked on, the doormats, the powerless, the abused spouses, they inherit their blessing. It's not something that they earn, but a gift that's worth waiting for. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Those who hunger and thirst for a justice that has been denied them include people who have no reason for hope, no cause for joy, and no access to the resources of this world. Such needs will be satisfied by the reversal that God's rule brings. Another sea story, if you can tolerate it. On an aircraft carrier headed to the Persian Gulf with some 5,000 people aboard and another 5,000 in the 17 other ships. As we left California and headed in that direction, someone came and handed me a note addressed to Chaplain. They had just done an inspection of all of the living spaces to make sure that as we deployed, people didn't have things they shouldn't have. Drug and alcohol and so on. This note asked me to say goodbye to a sailor's grandmother because he was sure that in his wallet they were going to find a receipt for a gay club. And he couldn't stand the fact that people would now know about his sexual preference. It was impossible 30 years ago for him to deal with that. And so his answer was to jump overboard in the darkness of night in the great open sea. Today, we celebrate, at least here, in this house of God, that all people are welcome, accepted, and loved. The point of the first four Beatitudes is not to offer entrance requirements for the kingdom of heaven, but to describe the nature of God's rule, which characterizes the kingdom of heaven. The people who benefit when God rules, Jesus declares, are those who otherwise have no reason for hope or cause for joy, who have been denied their share of God's blessings in this world and deprived of justice. In short, many of the people that we know and have worked with and have loved and who may be in this room. Martin Heineken, someone at least has heard that name, used to tell us that Christian is not an adjective, it's a noun. It's an identity, a choice to be one with the Savior of all, and a calling to use our God-given talents, abilities, and resources toward working toward the kingdom of God. You've probably gotten a card that says something like, life is short, and we do not have much time to gladden the hearts of those who make the journey with us. So be swift to love. Make haste to be kind. Or another that I've had in my office for 50 years. I shall pass through this world but once. Any good, therefore, that I can do, or any kindness that I can show to any human being, let me do it now. Let me not defer it or neglect it, for I shall not pass this way again. But Jesus says to us, blessed are you who hear my words and do not wait for the kingdom to come, but who follow me and are workers in it. Blessed are you who have received new life in the waters of baptism and at the table of Jesus Christ. No matter how uncomfortable or inconvenient it may be. Blessed are you who allow the Spirit to work in and through you to make the lives of others better. Blessed are you who recognize that all people are the children of God and loved equally by the Father. You are blessed. Now, be a blessing. Amen. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus.